strong.
It's not too late to lose weight in 2017.
Get you an accountability partner.
When your space is cluttered, your mind is cluttered.
Don't ever, ever give up.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie, how to say no without all the guilt.
You do not have to have a compelling reason to say no.
I don't take phone calls between 6 and 9.
Don't be afraid to say it twice. Hey, homies.
What's up, homies?
Woo woo.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. So today we are talking about, dun dun dun, boundaries.
How to say no.
How to say no.
I'm not doing
without
it.
Without all the guilt.
Lord, show me how to say no to this. I don't know how to say no to this.
Right, without all the guilt.
You can't make me.
We get this a whole lot. From homies. We get homies asking us about this. I just gave a speech on this topic. B. Mitra gave a speech on it recently. This is a topic that's near and dear to the homies' hearts.
And I want to be super clear, homies. We are not great at this. It is a work in progress.
Right,
the struggle is real.
Right, this is something that all the homies struggle with, including the two of us. So, one of the things I always say is before you can set boundaries or say no to anyone, you have to understand your own values and priorities. And so for me, if you don't know the things that are most important to you, then it's going to be difficult for you then to have limits about what you will or will not do. So for me, I actually have my priorities written down. They're in my planner. They're on the first page of my planner. I see them every day. So it literally has like family, then work, then such and such. You should have them in order, like number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. So that when things are conflicting, when people are asking you to do things that are bumping up against each other, you can remind yourself of what you said your priorities were.
That's such a great point. I don't have my priorities written down in that way, but as you know, Sundays are a very sacred day for me, and not only is that an opportunity to reconnect with God and get to church and what have you, but it's a day that I work, and I'm very good at this. It's rare for me to do something work-related on a Sunday or even faux work-related. I really see Sunday as my day, and so that does help me. That one day of the week for setting boundaries when someone asks me to do something on a Sunday.
So, okay. So before, I always say, before you can say no to anybody or set a boundary, you have to understand what a boundary is. And, you know, I do this often, but Webster defines a boundary.
Come on, preacher.
It's right. It's something that indicates or fixes a limit. So for me, when I think about setting a limit, I think about a fence. So when we're talking about boundaries, I think you should think of yourself as someone who has a psychological fence around themselves that protects yourself from unwanted things. And by unwanted things, I mean activities, challenging people, draining conversations. All of that are things that you should have boundaries around. And you should think of yourself as someone who actually is exercising the discipline enough to not end up in those situations.
And I don't think it's just for not ending up in situations. It's also to have time to do the things that you want to do that you've set as priorities for yourself as a part of that fenced-in area.
Okay, so I think this also, before we get into like the boundaries and how you set them, because I, you know we're sort of unpacking this a bit, but to me it's super important, because before you can set a boundary or say no to somebody, you have to understand why it's important. One of the big reasons, and Bimitra is super keen on this, is when you have boundaries or limits, you're more efficient and you're more productive, because you are being, as she would like to say, thoughtful and intentional about how you spend your time. When you don't have boundaries, you tend to be working off of other people's agendas, other people's limits, and then you're not being as productive or efficient.
Right. I call that you're just being dutiful.
Yes. And so to me, in addition to being unable to protect your efficiency or productivity, then you actually end up, and this is part of the thing that I struggle with, you end up not being able to protect your energy. And when you can't protect your energy, you are giving too much access. So one of the things that I've had to teach myself in the last couple of years is everyone doesn't deserve access to you at all times.
Right. So is that your first tip, is that everyone doesn't deserve access to you at all times, or you haven't gotten to your first tip?
Well, no, the first three tips were you need to set priorities. You need to actually write down your priorities. The second tip is you need to understand why priorities are important. And then this is our three, then I can give you ways to protect your energy.
And then that dovetails very nicely into my next tip, which is, you do not have to have a compelling reason to say no. Not wanting to do something is a good enough reason. And that took me a very, very long time to understand. I thought that if I had a free hour in my day and someone that I like, respected, enjoy spending time with, asked me to do something, even if that activity was not something I wanted to do, that I was being a bad friend if I said no to that. And so I would like to say, you don't have to have a compelling reason to say no.
Right. Exactly. Which goes back to what I was saying. We both struggle with it. Everyone doesn't deserve access to you at all times. And I think that is something that happens when you're a generous spirit. You want to give everyone access. But you can have even, I know people. I worked for a woman, and she really taught me this, where she would say, I am with my family and we do dinner and I put the kids to bed. And so I'm not on email and I don't take phone calls between 6 and 9. And so to me, it was her way of communicating a boundary. And it was a way of saying, it doesn't matter. I'm going to, make that time sacred for me and my family every day. And what I also understood is I never heard it about her not being available to me. I understood when she was available to me. She's available to me before 6 and she's available to me after 9.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic. I need to implement a time period like that for myself every day. I would also say my next tip is practice makes perfect. It is uncomfortable to do this, especially if you're not used to saying no. It is an adjustment. Like every other muscle, when you practice saying no, you do get better at it. And one of the ways that I like to do that is to thank people for the invitation. Simply say something very generic, such as, I already have a conflict, or I'm not going to be able to make that, and please keep me in mind in the future.
And I go even further than that. And a lot of the homies have even commented, because I say this all the time. No is a complete sentence. And so I have found lots of nice and creative ways to say no as a complete sentence. So I'll give you a couple of them, homies. One of mine is, oh my goodness, that sounds great, but I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Don't be afraid to say it twice.
Right. So it's just no, right? But there's no explanation. I didn't say I had a commitment. I didn't say anything. I just said no. Another one is, I am overcommitted this year, so no, I won't be able to do that. Thank you for the offer. I have a great interest in this organization. I have a passion for this project. I would love to chair your committee, but I'm overcommitted this year, and so no, I will not be able to do that. Again, just a no. My final one and my favorite one that I feel like, and Patricia's probably going to laugh because I feel like I use this one a lot lately, is, hey, I'm working on something right now, so I'm not going to be able to do that. When the reason why I say that, because it could be, no, I don't want to go out to eat because I'm working on losing weight, so I can't go. Or no, I'm not going to be. I'm working on something. Hey, I'm working on something right now. And so I'm not going to be able to do that.
One of the things that, you know, Demetra talks about with no being a complete sentence that she likes to say is one of the reasons why, you know, she insinuated but didn't really spell it out as a tip is do not give an explanation. And the reason you don't give an explanation is because then people try to help you to yes. So then you, if you say, yes. Okay, would you like to go to the such and such play at 1 o'clock? And you know that you're flying back at 12:30. And you say, no, I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm flying back at 12:30. And then people say, oh, well, it's okay if you're late. We'll leave your ticket at will call. And it's okay if you get there at 1:30, 2 o'clock. And so now they have helped you to yes. And so you can't give
an explanation. Right, or they're trying to help you get to a yes. Or they're like, oh, well, we'll move up the time and we'll start at 10:30. That way you'll be out. And what you were really thinking is, no, I didn't want to go at all. I wanted to just say no. But they're trying to help you get to the yes. Another reason is people evaluate the quality of your no when you start giving an
hello somebody, and they think, well, that's not as important as what I've asked.
That's not as
important because I. That's and let me say this: we do it right. I can tell you 7 or 8 things that people have said no to me about, and when I found out what they did to say no, I thought, well, that was jacked up because that wasn't enough.
That wasn't a good enough reason to tell me no.
You were just hanging with your sister. That's no good. That's no bueno.
Right. And we all do that. That just happened to me on Friday. I was supposed to have dinner with another homie early that morning, like 7 a.m. She sent me a text and she said, hey, is there any way we could move dinner up to earlier in the day? I had just finished a run. I looked at my calendar. My calendar was actually open. I said, sure. My day is pretty flexible. When were you thinking? She said, I'd like to do lunch. I said, okay, fine. We sit down at lunch and I said, hey, girl, what was going on? Why did you need to move up the lunch?
The dinner.
And she said, oh, girl. I mean, the dinner. She said, oh, girl, because we end up getting some concert tickets to some. And I thought to myself,
how did you end up getting plans? Because you had plans.
Why? Because we had this on the books for a while. But it made me laugh. I laughed at myself and I said she handled it correctly because the truth was she didn't owe me the explanation. She didn't need to give me any of that explanation. She just needed to know if I could change dinner to lunch, because without doing that, I'm evaluating whether her reason is sufficient or not. So
the other thing I think is great that I like to do with Demetrius, I'm already committed, is if it is something that if it's appropriate, I will suggest another person. So right now I am at my board nonprofit capacity, but I also have other homies and friends who I know that would like to get more involved in the community. And so I will say to Demetra's point, I'm at my commitment. I'm at capacity. I don't have any room for anything new. However, I do think this is a great project, blah, 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 blah. May I suggest that you talk with so-and-so who may have an interest? And now you've just connected two new homies to one another and help somebody else.
And open up an opportunity. Right. And open up an opportunity. So here's another thing that I always say. Once you decide what your boundaries are, and I want to make sure that we're clear. We are talking about setting boundaries both professionally and personally. And this is something that I know a lot of homies struggle with, because we do. We have this idea that we can't set boundaries with family members. We can't set boundaries with, you know, our line sisters. Like, no, but you can set boundaries and you should set boundaries with everyone. But once you decide what your boundaries are, you need to communicate and respect your own boundaries. Because if you stop respecting your boundaries, no one else
will
respect them either.
They most certainly will not. They most certainly will not.
So you have to and sometimes you will have to reinforce your boundaries. So if you have decided that you don't take work phone calls or any phone calls between 6
don't
and 9.
Don't take them.
Don't answer the phone between 6 and 9. Don't respond between 6 and 9. Because once you start doing that, you communicate to people that your boundary is flexible. That it's not really a boundary. It's like jelly. It can move a little bit. And now people are pushing up against your boundary. But if you just respect it, it teaches people, hey, I was for real about that. I was for real when I said that, like, that's family time. You know, Saturday is family day. We don't do that. And you don't have to be so pious about it. You don't have to respond with like, girl, I told you we from
you mean it doesn't have to be a read?
What you do, right, what you can do is when you call back, you say, hey, girl, I'm calling you back because, girl, you know, I got your call, but, you know, it was before 9, so, I'm just not able to get back to you. So that's a really, like, low-key way of reminding the person of
that
your boundaries.
That is such a great point. The other thing I would say is a quick no is so much better. Don't procrastinate. One of my biggest pet peeves is when you are inviting someone to something such as sitting at a table for a gala or a banquet or a luncheon, and everybody works in this corporate game that you're inviting. So they know that, like, it's a table of 10. You need to get back with the people, get them your names. Nothing is more frustrating for somebody not to respond. And then you're trying to figure out, should I hold a seat for them? Should I not hold a seat for them? Because they don't have the ability to check their calendar and give you. So on the flip side, I mean, please just don't procrastinate in your no. If you know it's not something you're going to be able to do, go ahead and communicate that as quickly as your schedule will allow you to.
That's a great point. And if it's something you know you're never going to want to do, like, I don't really ever want to go to a gala, I sort of communicate that to people. Like, girl, thank you so much for that invitation to the gala. I don't really do galas unless I have to. And so I'm a hard no on that. And then that way I feel like they won't think that I had some issue with this gala, and then they want to ask me, and then I have to keep saying no over and over again.
And the genius of that is it prevents the future requests, right? So you don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, so they know, like, oh, Demetria's out for the symphony, or she's out for gala.
Yeah, she's out for galas.
I would say don't feel pressured to answer immediately. If you're somebody that has trouble saying no, there's nothing wrong with asking for time to check your calendar and get back. Also, this is also good to, you know, to play your 1950s. I need to check with my spouse. I need to check with my husband, my wife card.
Right. Or, you know, one of the things I like to say is, let me think about that. Or what all does that entail? Especially when someone is asking you for something that's more than a one-day commitment. When they're asking you to be on the PTA or be the room mom or sit on a board or do something for the sorority. There is nothing wrong with saying, again, I've got a whole bunch going on. What does that look like? And then when they give you all of the what does it look like, say, thank you for that. Let me think about that. Let me pray about that. Let me get back to you. And then give, like B said, but give a target date. And I'll have you an answer, you know, by the end of next week. So that you are accountable to actually giving them a definite answer.
And for those homies who are still thinking, gosh, this is so much easier said than done. I just can't do that. I want to remind you that people tell you no all the time, that and you're all right.
Absolutely.
They'll be okay, or as my Aunt Twyla likes to say, or not.
Or not. Or not. And so here's my final tip. I want to be, Mitchell always says, I want to be the best banker today than I was yesterday. And I think of life like this. I want to be happier today than I was yesterday.
Amen, somebody.
You know, and my mom used to have a thing up in our home all the time that said, happiness
is a do-it-yourself
project.
It's a do-it-yourself project.
So it's up to me to make sure that I'm happy. And one of the things is you set boundaries and limits for everyone else that you love. You have your children, your spouse. There's nothing you wouldn't do to protect them, to set a fence around them to make sure they're protected. And there's no one you should love more than yourself. And you should be at the top of the list of people that you love. And so you've got to be doing things that make sure that you are happy. In other words, you got to put your mask on first so that you can be, you know, of service to all these people. And so that may mean that you need to leave people, places, and situations that do not serve you. And sometimes that means saying no to a family member. So, you know, we're going into the holidays. That might mean not going home for the holidays.
Or not staying as long as you normally do.
As long as you normally would. Set the boundaries you need. Even that, or it might mean it's time to say no to a job or no to a promotion or to a committee. But you deserve to make sure that you're happy.
Yes, I think that that's great. And, you know, this topic came from so many different homies reaching out, people who are seeing us out in the community. And I think that this is just a very challenging thing for most of us, because we are people pleasers at heart, and we don't want to hurt people's feelings, and we have guilt when we disappoint people or we feel like we're coming up short. And what we're saying is, don't come up short with yourself.
Correct. So as always, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a topic that you would like covered, please feel free to email us at questions@corporatehomie.com. If you want us to come out and speak, we've been trying to keep those in different places, please email us at info@corporatehomie.com.
And as always, you can find us on all things social, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's always the same handle, Corporate Homie, HOMIE.
And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.